going to begin in the Gospel of John and the 8th chapter. If you will turn there with me, please. John chapter 8, we're going to start down in verse 31. If you'll look there with me, John chapter 8, verse 31 to 36. Jesus was saying to those Jews who had believed in him, "If you continue in my word, then you will truly be disciples of mine. Then are you truly disciples of mine. And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." And we probably all heard that phrase, maybe said that phrase, "The truth will set you free." But Jesus puts it in context here and tells us precisely how the truth will set us free. We'll talk about that more in just a few moments. "Then you'll be my disciples, you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free." They answered him, "We are Abraham's descendants and have never yet been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free?" Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin," and the word "commit" there, and I think the Amplified Bible says, "who habitually commits sin or continues to commit sin," someone who has a chronic problem within a certain area of sin. He says, if everyone who keeps on sinning in a particular way is a slave to that sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever, but the son does remain forever. So if the Son makes you free, you will be free indeed. I want to continue to talk about the things we were sharing with you last week as we shared a message. We entitled it last week and just sort of a subtitle to the message. Our main series we're talking about looking at Jesus. We would see Jesus. And the subtitle of last week's message was Christ Our Deliverer. And we talked about how God wants to set us free, how Jesus wants to set us free from chronic problems, from things we struggle with time and time and time again, things that try to control our lives and maybe even consume our lives, the habitual, the chronic sins, attitudes of our heart that we cannot seem to change, bad habits that we can't seem to break, oppressions, attitudes, negativity, fear, all of these kinds of things, addictions of all kinds, whether it's drugs or tobacco or alcohol or food or pornography or anything like that, that is consuming and controlling our lives. And we reminded you last week, and it's so important that we be reminded of the fact of the spiritual realm and how the spiritual realm moves to influence our lives every day. Every day you and I are confronted with spirits of darkness and wickedness that want to influence us to evil, but we also have the Holy Spirit within us who is there to empower us to do the right thing and to live righteously before the Lord. The Bible makes it clear to us that the devil is real. We don't like to think of that in our culture, in our society today. We're too sophisticated and too intelligent to believe in myths and silly superstitions and things like that. And yet the Bible tells us plainly in Peter that the devil is a roaring lion who seeks those that he can destroy. He's called the God of this world, the evil one, Lucifer, Satan, the serpent, all of these kinds of things. Paul tells us that we wrestle not with flesh and blood, but principalities and powers and spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places. And we have these battles that go on every day. We talked about how these spiritual forces tempt us, test us, try to influence us, try to take control over us. One of the ways that we talked about last week was the strongholds that the enemy establishes in our minds to keep us defeated, to keep us from believing and trusting in the Lord and experiencing the freedom and victory he wants us to have. Now, I want to give you an example of that today so that you really understand that this stuff is real, these things are real, and it really happens to all of us whether we acknowledge it or not. Let me give you a stronghold that I guarantee probably every one of us struggles with in one way, shape, or form. Every single one of us struggle with this demonic stronghold. I want you to hear it. Here it is. The stronghold is this: I can't. I can't. What do you mean, Pastor? I mean this. You hear it all the time as an excuse in the church. Well, I can't do this, or I can't do that. I don't have any ability or any gift or any talent to share with anybody. I can't be a witness for Jesus Christ. I can't, here's one, I can't pray out loud in front of other people. I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, that is a stronghold that every one of you, here it is, I can't forgive that person. I can't love that person. It's a demonic stronghold. What do I mean by demonic stronghold? I mean a stronghold, a thought pattern in our mind that is, quite frankly, contrary to the Word of God. Let me give you some examples. In the Old Testament, God went to a man, went to two men, that he wanted to deliver the nation of Israel. Israel is in bondage in Egypt. They've been in bondage for 400 years. God goes to a man named Moses and he says, Moses, I want you to go down to Egypt and I want you to lead my children out of Egypt and set them free from bondage. You know how Moses responded to that? He said, God, I can't. I can't. And God said, yes, you can, Moses, because I'll be with you. When you think you can't, I'll be your can. I'll be your ability. Some years later, Israel is living in the promised land, and yet they are still in bondage to the enemies that are around them. In the days of Gideon in Judges chapter 6, there was a nation near to them known as Midian, the Midianites. And they were oppressing the nation of Israel and holding them in bondage. And every spring, Israel would plant their crops. And every summer, the Midianites would come and raid and take their crops from them and leave them with nothing to eat. And Israel was an oppressed nation. They were in bondage to these people. And just as when they were in Egypt, they cried out to God again, God help us. God deliver us. God set us free. God goes to a man by the name of Gideon and he says, Gideon, I want you to be the deliverer of the nation of Israel. I'm calling you to be a mighty man and set my people free. And you remember how Gideon answered? God, I can't. God said, Gideon, you can because I will be with you. And when you think you can't, I'll give you the ability to do it. Brother and sister, every time we say, I can't do what God has told me to do in the Word of the Lord. I can't forgive that person. I can't love that person. I can't. I don't have an ability to serve other people. I can't be a witness for Jesus Christ. God says, you can because I will be with you and I live within you. Can I share with you just how ironic the phrase I can't really is for a believer? How ironic it is, because we think when we say I can't do something, we think we're being real humble by saying that. And the truth of the matter is, I can't masquerades as humility. And we often use it as justification for disobedience. I can't. God says, go into all the world. We say, well, I can't. God told us to. God, listen, brother and sister, if God ever calls us to do anything, he always empowers us to do what he calls us to do. He never calls us to do anything without also giving us the ability to do it. Be a witness. Lead a prayer time. Whatever it might be, we can if the Spirit of the Lord is really within us. And can I press that issue? Because the I can't that we mean as humility actually can be a cover for pride. Hear it. I can't be a witness. I don't know what to say. And I will feel foolish, and people will think poorly of me. Brother and sister, that's pride. That's pride. Your I can't, which you think makes you look humble, in fact, is just a cover for pride. I can't pray out loud. Been there? Been there? God says we can. And God gives us the ability to do the things that we don't think we can do. Any lie, anything that we have believed that is contrary to the Word of God, yet we have believed it in our minds, it's a spiritual stronghold. It is a spiritual stronghold in our minds that must be broken by the power of the truth of the Word of God. And we can be free. We can be free to do the things that God has instructed and appointed for us to do. Jesus died to set us free, and whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Absolutely, unquestionably, and in full reality. We spoke last week about how Jesus has given us authority. I want you to mark John chapter 8, because if we have time, I'm going to come back to that passage in just a few moments. But I want you to look back a book in your Bible to Luke chapter 10. We talked about last week how God has given to every believer authority in the spiritual realm so that we don't have to submit ourselves to the influence of demonic spirits, but rather we can be free from those things to walk in obedience to the Lord. In Luke chapter 10, verses 17 through 20, if you remember in the Gospels, Jesus had 12 disciples, 12 that were his closest group that he mentored and would become the apostles. But the Bible tells us there were also 70 others that he anointed and sent out to do miracles and to be witnesses and to exercise authority and these kinds of things. And that's recorded for us actually in Luke chapter 10, the story of the 70 being appointed and sent out by the Lord. In verse 17, these 70 who have been sent out under the authority of Jesus now return to the Lord to give a report of what's happened in their ministry. Luke chapter 10, verse 17, the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. We have authority in the spiritual realm. Jesus said to them, I was watching Satan fall from heaven like lightning, and behold, I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will injure you. You have authority in the spiritual realm in order to take authority over demonic spirits that would try to torment and destroy your life. We talked last week about how it was important that we speak the word where temptation was concerned and victory required over demonic strongholds in our lives. And we need to speak to the enemy in order to exercise the authority of Christ. And really that's what Jesus was teaching us there in John chapter 8 when he says, continue in my word, you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. See, when the devil lies to us, the way that we overcome that is we go on the offensive with the truth of the Word of God. And just like Jesus in Matthew chapter 4, Luke chapter 4, Mount of Temptation, the devil comes three times to Jesus and tempts him. He tempts him to turn a stone into bread. He tempts him to throw himself from the pinnacle of the temple. And he tempts him, what was the third one, preacher? He tempts him to bow down and worship the devil so that the devil would give him authority and rulership over all of creation. And every time the enemy came to him with his lies and with his temptations, Jesus uses the Word of God. He quotes Scripture and uses the Word of God as a spiritual sword against his enemy in order to drive him out of his life. And it's a picture of how you and I are to do spiritual warfare. Jesus said, speak the Word. We say, I can't. The Word says, we can. And we need to speak the word. When the devil brings those doubts and we say, I can't, we need to remember the scripture says we can do all things through Christ who gives us strength. That when God calls us to do something, He anoints whom He appoints. And when God calls us, He equips us. So that if there's something the Lord is wanting you to do, He will give you the ability to do it. And we need to remind the enemy of these things. Jesus spoke to the devil. He spoke to the devil in Peter and said, get behind me, Satan. Jesus spoke to the winds and the wave and still the storm. And we need to still the storms of our lives by speaking the word of the Lord. In fact, Jesus told us to, didn't he? Mark chapter 11, Jesus said, speak to the mountain. Speak to the mountain and the mountain will move. And we release spiritual power by speaking the word of the Lord. But brother and sister, these things don't happen automatically. The devil doesn't flee from us automatically. The devil tempts us and tries us, and unless we resist him, he will overcome us. He will conquer us. And he will take us down and bring destruction against our life. I'm just going to share just personally. This past week, I had a major epic fail in my life because I didn't recognize the attack of the enemy against my life. I lost control of my temper, blew up. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 5, one of the works of the flesh, which simply means one of the demonstrations of the sinful human spirit, is outbursts of anger. And I lost control and I blew up and I hurt a lot of people. A lot of people that I dearly love. And so the rest of my week was owning my mistake and my failure and going to people and apologizing and asking forgiveness. And now, and here's the reason I want to share this with you. See, now what I battle is this. Now I battle the truckloads of self-hate and condemnation that the devil always brings to you when you fail. And here's the point. Had I recognized the enemy and gone to battle with the enemy in the beginning, I wouldn't have to be going through this fight now. See? And the point is this, brother and sister, that at any moment, at any time, if we let our guard down, the devil is looking for an opportunity to slip in there. And if we give him an opportunity, he'll take it. And we always have to be ready. We always have to be armed. That's what Jesus is talking about when he says, continue in my word. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 6, the word of God is a spiritual sword. Jesus says, continue in my word. What's he saying? He's saying, keep yourself armed for battle. Keep yourself ready for the day of temptation. Peter says it too. I quoted this scripture from Peter that he says the devil is a roaring lion. But do you know how that passage starts? That passage starts by saying, be alert. Stay sober. That means be ready. Because the enemy will come. And he will tempt you. And if you're not ready, he'll take you down. And so listen, a major key, and Jim mentioned it just a little while ago, a major, major key in walking in this victory, in walking in victory over darkness, over the bad habits, over the wrong thinking, over the temptation, is living the surrendered life to Jesus Christ. Because it's in Jesus that we overcome. It's by His strength we get the victory. And if we don't live continually out of the presence of the Lord, then we don't have the strength. Do you understand today that as real as the devil is, you and I on our own are absolutely no match for him whatsoever. Without the strength of Christ, we will not win. We cannot win. That's why we're still in bondage until we receive Christ. Thankfully, we are not without Christ. When we come to Him and confess Him as our Lord and His Spirit comes to dwell in us, but then you and I must continually live the surrendered life to to Jesus. And let's remember that that's what our message is all about. Our message is we would see Jesus. We want to see Jesus. And we see this concept of the surrendered life in the person of Jesus Christ. Let me show it to you in the Gospel of John again. If you go back over there to the 5th chapter. Jesus is our example in everything and in every way. John chapter 5. Jesus is our example of living the surrendered life. While you're turning there, I'll just remind you of Paul's testimony in 2 Corinthians, where Paul was going through some kind of a struggle in his life, and there are a lot of different opinions as to what that was. I believe it was the attacks for persecution against his life that were constantly against him. That passage of scripture, God actually says there was given to him, there was allowed to come against the apostle Paul, a demonic attack, spiritual attacks to keep him from getting proud of who he was as an apostle of Christ. And he went through battles constantly and was tried and in tremendous ways and tested in unbelievable ways, ways that you and I have never yet even experienced in order to try to get Paul to turn away from Christ. And Paul had to fight the enemy just like you and I have to fight the enemy. And Paul cried out to God. The Bible says he cried out to God 3 times. And he said, God, please take it away. Make it stop. And God's answer to Paul was this. He said, Paul, I'm not going to take your problems away from you, but here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you grace, Paul. And grace, brother and sister, is the power of God manifest in our lives to give us victory over darkness. He said, Paul, I'm going to give you grace so that when the enemy comes against you, you will have the strength to resist him and overcome. And Paul got revelation of what God said to him. And Paul says this, I rejoice, therefore, in my weaknesses, because when I am weak and acknowledge my weakness and acknowledge my inability, then God fills me with his supernatural strength to give me the victory. And that's what God wants us to do. God wants us to live the surrendered life, to say, where overcoming darkness is concerned, I can't. I can't do it on my own. But with the grace of God and with God's strength, I can overcome the enemy. And my life can be changed. And that addiction can be broken. And that stronghold can be pulled down. And peace can be mine. And freedom can be mine. Did I ask you to turn somewhere? I forget where I even was. Oh, that's right. John chapter 5. Look at this. Look at the example of Jesus. He sets the example for us. Jesus is our substitute as he breaks the power of darkness, but he is our example for living day to day. And he lives the surrendered life to his heavenly Father in everything that he does. And in doing so, sets the example for you and I. John 5 verse 19. Jesus is, he's again debating with these Jews about who he is and all of these kinds of things. He says this, John 5, 19, therefore Jesus answered and was saying to them, truly, truly, I say to you, listen, the Son can do nothing of himself unless it is something he sees the Father doing. Now, he's the Son that he's talking about. You get that. Jesus is the Son. He says, the Son can do nothing of himself. He can't initiate anything. He can only do what he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, these things the Son also does in like manner. He says, I don't do anything except what I believe and see my Heavenly Father doing. Let me read a couple more real quickly for you. Look at the 30th verse of the same chapter. Jesus says, I can do nothing on my own initiative. It doesn't begin with me, it begins with God. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I do not seek my own will, but the will of him who sent me. I don't do anything on my own, he says. I only do what God says to do. I only do what the Father says to do. Because I didn't come, I don't even live for my own will. I live to do the will of my Father. That's the example he sets for us. Look at chapter 8. And I'll just read a couple real quickly to you. John chapter 8. verse 28. So Jesus said, when you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am He, I am the Son of God, I am God in the flesh, and I do nothing on my own initiative, but I speak those things as the Father taught me. Look down at verse 42. Jesus said to them, if God were your Father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and have come from God. For I have not even come on my own initiative, but He sent me. He said, my being here wasn't my idea. It was the Father's idea, and I am here because God told me to come, and I only go where the Father tells me to go. I only do what the Father tells me to do. I only say what the Father tells me to say. And He lives the entirety of His life in complete surrender to His Heavenly Father to do the things of God and to walk in the perfect peace and the perfect will of the Lord. Everything about His life is surrendered to His Father. Everything He said, did, everywhere He went, it's all about God. It's all about doing the will of God. Even in the Garden of Gethsemane on His last night, as He is there praying before the Father, knowing the cross that awaits Him, Jesus Himself even said, He prayed to the Father and He said, God, if there is any other way to complete Your purpose and plan, anything other than going to the cross that we can do to accomplish the same goal, He said, Father, let's go the other way. Jesus knew the brutality and the pain and the suffering of the cross that awaited Him. And He told the Father, if there's another way to accomplish Your plan, let's do it the other way. But He didn't stop there. He said, nevertheless, Father, not my will, but Your will be done in my life. And everything about His life was done in total surrender to His Heavenly Father. And in order to do that, look at Philippians chapter 2. Just a couple more passages real quick today. Because He was willing to surrender Himself completely to the Father, He leaves an example for you and me. Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11. Paul, writing here to the church at Philippi, he writes to those brothers and sisters in the Lord, and he says, have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus. In other words, he's saying, church, be like Jesus. Let me show you how. Who, although He existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied Himself, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of men. And being found in the appearance as a man, He humbled Himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. For this reason. Now watch this. Here's the attitude. He says, have this same attitude in yourself. Be like Jesus in this way. Be willing to humble yourself. Jesus is God. But He came into the earth and He chose willingly and freely to lay aside all of the attributes of God and live in this earth as a man. He humbled Himself to be like a man, and He went a step further and humbled Himself to men and allowed them to crucify Him on the cross. Because He surrendered His life that way, because He humbled Himself that way, verse 9, for this reason, God highly exalted Him. Listen. God highly exalted Him and bestowed on Him the name which is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee will bow of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Christ. Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Because He surrendered Himself, because He humbled Himself, He was exalted. Because He surrendered Himself to death, He was raised to life. Because He submitted Himself to the authority of God, He was given authority over the realm of the Spirit. And as we submit ourselves to the Lord, we can resist the devil, and he will flee from us in the same way that Jesus got victory over him. Mark chapter 8. Jesus not only set the example for us of living the surrendered life to the Father, but he teaches us in his word that we are to live a surrendered life to the Father. These words are familiar to you. You recognize them when I read them. Chapter 8 of Mark 34. He summoned the crowd with his disciples and said to them, "If anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself." That's the surrendered life. He says, surrender your life, your dreams, your hopes, your goals, your ambitions, your calls, whatever, your wants, your desires. Die to it. Surrender it. Give it to the Father. "Anyone who wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it." See, guys, we're not created to make a name for ourselves. We're created to make a name for the one who died for us. And we're to die to our selfish dreams and goals and ambitions and live for the God who created us. Because it's only then that we can really find life. And this isn't something that happens just once in our life. It's something that has to happen every moment of every day in our life. In fact, Luke's account of this same passage of Scripture, Luke 9:23, Luke quotes Jesus saying this, "Take up your cross daily and follow me." Every day, lay down your life so that God can give it back to you again. And Paul would even say in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, we are always giving up our lives. We are constantly dying that the life of Christ might be manifest in us. To do this requires humility on our part. We saw there in Philippians chapter 2 that Jesus humbled himself to that point of death, even death on a cross. Pride tells us, don't admit it. Don't admit you made a mistake. Don't admit you did something wrong. Don't admit you have a problem. Don't admit you can't handle it yourself. Don't admit you can't fix the problem for yourself. Pride tells us all of these things. Pride keeps us in denial, and pride prevents us from admitting the truth. And pride prevents us from getting the help we need. And pride prevents us from being free. This is why I want you to look at John chapter 8 again. Let's look at that real quickly one last time. I want you to see in John chapter 8 why the Pharisees were still in bondage. In John chapter 8. The opening passage we started with today, John chapter 8. Let me just go ahead and read 31, 2, and 3 again. Jesus was saying to those Jews who had believed in him, "If you continue in my word, then are you truly disciples of mine, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." Now look at their response in verse 33. They answered him, "We are Abraham's descendants and have never yet been enslaved to anyone. Who is it? How is it that you say you will become free?" Well, you see in verse 33, the pride and the arrogance of these Jews. Look at what they said there. Verse 33. "We are descendants of Abraham and we've never been in bondage, been enslaved to anyone." Let me ask you a question. Have you ever read the Old Testament? If you read the Old Testament, brother and sister, more often than not, the Jews were in bondage to somebody. They spent most of their lives in bondage to somebody. They were in bondage in Egypt for over 400 years. When they came into the promised land, they were tormented and oppressed by the Philistines, by the Midianites, by the Assyrians. Ultimately, the Babylonians came in and conquered them,
captive and took them away from their land. The Babylonians, the Medes and the Persians all held them in bondage. At the very moment they're standing before Jesus and saying, we've never been in bondage to anybody, they were in bondage to Rome. They were being held captive and waiting for a Messiah that would set them free. But they were in absolute denial of the truth. And because of their denial of the truth, they couldn't see the Savior that stood right in front of them. And they never did get free. And not only were they in bondage to the Babylonians and Medes, Persians, and all those other people, the Romans, they were in bondage to Satan and to sin. And they could not be free because of their denial of the truth and because of the pride and the arrogance of their heart. Jesus came to set us free, brother and sister. He came to set us free from bondage to addictions, to sins, to attitudes, to habits, whatever it is, fear, negativity, depression. Acts 10:38 says, you know of Jesus, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Jesus came to set us free. But to be free, we've got to surrender our lives to Jesus Christ. We've got to humble ourselves, admit we're in sin, admit we need help, admit we can't do it ourselves, let go of our pride, cry out to Jesus, and surrender our lives to him. In order to live, we must first die. In order to have authority, we must first submit ourselves to authority. In order to have victory, we must first surrender. It's how it works in the kingdom of God. We must humble ourselves. We surrender to Jesus. We obey his word. When we know the word, we'll know the truth. We can then use the truth as the instrument of God to get us free. In order to know the truth, we must see Jesus. Let's pray together. So, Father, we stand before you again today as a people who acknowledge their need for the sovereign Lord to rule over our lives every moment of every day. And I thank you, Father, that there isn't anything the enemy is bringing to us or has brought against us that you don't give us the strength to resist, conquer, and overcome. And there is nothing that has taken us captive from which we cannot be free. Because whom the Son sets free is free indeed. We believe today that our Lord has come to set us free. To set us free from sin. To set us free from those bad habits. Those annoying problems. The things that we struggle with. The addiction. The fear. The oppression. Thank you, God, that you want us to be a free people. And we thank you that Christ is our deliverer. We thank you that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And as he set people free in the pages of Scripture, he still sets people free today who lean on him, who run to him, who believe in him, and surrender to him. And I thank you, Father, for the hope, for this hope of deliverance and freedom and victory that you set before us and that you have made available to every single one of us because you love us today. We bless you for that. Father, I thank you for the word of the Lord today.
the opportunity you have given me once again to share this word with these precious people. I believe, Father, I believe that the word of God today has found fertile soil. That the hearts of your people here today, Father, have received the word of God. And I believe they want the word of God to take root and to grow up strong and healthy and to produce much fruit in their lives. And I thank you for that. Thank you, Father. I thank you for the victory that is ours in the word. And for the victory that is in our hearts through the presence of your Son there. Bless you, Lord. Yet again, for your great blessing to our life. Let's stand together. Would you take a moment or two as we just stand quietly in the presence of the Lord, just to consider your own heart, just for a few moments. Consider your own heart. And let the Lord show you clearly the things that you struggle with, the issues that seem to be chronic and you never seem to keep a victory in that area of your life. Whatever it might be, would you ask the Lord to give you strength today? Would you covenant with God? Would you tell the Lord, Father, you give me the strength, and I will take up the sword of the Spirit, and I will make the choice to live righteously, and I will resist the enemy. That's another scripture that we hear sometimes, guys. Resist the devil, he'll flee from you. That's only half the verse. The verse begins by saying, submit to God. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Brother and sister, it's in our submission to the Lord and our drawing near to God that we obtain the strength that we need to resist the enemy, to overcome. And be victorious. But we should always be drawing near to the Lord, shouldn't we? Continually dwelling in the presence of God. Living from that place of victory and life. Following the example of Jesus. Ask the Lord to help you to get the victory. Covenant with God that you're going to get into the Word and you'll use the Word as the sword against the devil. But draw near to the Lord. Draw near to God. Yes. Surrender to the Lord. Follow the example of Christ. Father, we thank you today that there's nothing that's impossible for you. We thank you today that greater is he who is in us than he who is in the world. We thank you that the word of God is incorruptible seed and will always produce fruit in our lives. We thank you that all of your promises are yes and amen to those who believe in Jesus. We thank you that we always overcome through Christ because he always causes us to triumph. And he makes our lives a sweet aroma of victory. And we praise you for that. So, Father, I commit our church family to you once again, Lord, and I ask you to watch over them in the week that's ahead. I pray, God, that when temptation comes our way this week, Lord, we would remember the word of the Lord. And we would submit ourselves to you, and we would stand firm and fast against our enemy. And we thank you for the victory that we will obtain as we do so. And then, Father, may we testify of the goodness of the Lord and declare the goodness of the Lord Jesus as our witness for the Son of God. May the blessing of peace, the blessing of God. blessing of joy, the blessing of wisdom, the blessing of health, the blessing of abundant provision be yours both today and always through Christ our Lord. Let's sing together. In your presence, there is peace. In your presence, there is joy. I will linger, I will stay in your presence day by day. Till your likeness may be seen in me. Amen. God bless you. Thank you so much for being with us today. Have a great week in the Lord. Hope to see you Wednesday night for Bible study.